Ladd took it away. Quick pass to Olson. A 2-on-1 break over the Bruin line. Right circle. Tosses in front. Tays shoots. He scores! Ha-ha!
Chris Dovey does the production and imaging here for us. And what that means, he puts together the promotional announcements that you hear, promoting different parts of the day and things. And he's focused in on the John Weideman ha-ha, which is brilliant. It's brilliant, because the world's a better place when Weideman's giving us a ha-ha. You know what I'm saying, Dave?
I don't think John pulls that out unless it's like either a really significant goal.
You got to earn your ha-ha.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not just for any goal.
That's not a freebie. Yeah. The best in hockey joins us, John Weideman. Good morning, my friend.
Ha-ha! I guess it is pretty normal.
I hope you've heard some of the Duffy work, because it's fantastic.
I have. Duff is a true artist. And, when I'm driving around and I hear them, I sit there for a second. And then when I hear that, inside I'm laughing out loud, but, outwardly I'm cringing. But, I mean, he's so good at what he does, and really it's enjoyable to hear it.
I was in a building yesterday, so I missed the call. But, of course, I got it all in the post game. Compare it. How wild was yesterday's game compared to, I don't know, anything else you've seen this season or recently?
Yeah, it was a different kind of a game. I tell you, Steve, when they built the 6-0 lead, I thought to myself, okay, this game could turn ugly, because, the Bruins are the kind of a team, historically, that if you build up a lead on them like that and you kind of put them in an embarrassing situation, they can start some scraps and then it can just turn nasty and, guys can get hurt that way. And I was hoping that wouldn't happen. Well, I give the Bruins an awful lot of credit. They looked at the scoreboard, and they very easily could have said, well, next game. But instead, they started to fight back. And late in the second period, they got those two goals in 11 seconds. And to me, that was a wake-up call to the Blackhawks. That's where the Blackhawks bench should have been like, okay, boys, we got to finish this game. We got to play all 60 minutes. The Bruins got two more in the third. And really, I think Judd Surratt put it perfectly when he said they had to sweat out a 6-4 victory. And so I think it was actually a really good lesson for this team late in the season, if there is such a thing, because there's no game that really is won until the final seconds are off the clock, and I think yesterday illustrated that.
John, what I thought was impressive about it is this is a game, as important a game as it was for the Blackhawks from a number of standpoints, this was a game that Boston really needed.
Yeah.
If you look at the East, and for the Blackhawks to come out and deliver a roundhouse early and then that four-goal second period to really take control and put it out there far enough that Boston wasn't able to come back, I thought was very significant.
Yeah, I would agree, Dave. You have to think that Boston's probably a little bit nervous right now, knowing that their season is pretty much on the line from here to the end of the regular season. The Philadelphia Flyers, even though they lost yesterday, have been playing lights-out hockey. Pittsburgh has been playing very well as well. Detroit is one of those teams that they seem to know when to turn it on, so they've got three games left, and, I think it's three or four games left, and they've got no – it's not going to be an easy road for any of the teams. So the loss yesterday for the Bruins, it was a tough one for them. I mean, they came into the game actually out of a playoff spot. They were looking up at the playoff pack, and I know that they were a little bit worried, and you would think that if they had that kind of a feeling of urgency, they would have played a better game early on, but they just didn't, and the Blackhawks took advantage. But I'll say this, the Blackhawks looked like they were ready to play. You could tell from when they hit the ice and warm up, you could tell, you just kind of get that feeling. They're ready to come to play today. I think I said that on the broadcast, too. So they won the game, and that's really all that matters.
So were you all set to call Marian Hossa's 500th goal on that 2-on-1 break with Taves?
I so was. I that's what I was thinking the whole way down, Dave. I mean, when he entered the right circle, I was ready to say, Hossa shoots, he scores, there's number 500. And he's such a class guy, Marian Hossa, such a great guy. He dished off to Taves, who was wide open to the left of the net. And, if he doesn't make that pass and he shoots the puck, well, that's not a bad play either, but Hossa is such a team player. He's going to get his 500th. I think he knows that. I was disappointed that he was injured yesterday and couldn't finish the game, because I really felt that had he stayed in that game, we were going to be talking about his 500th goal. And what a day yesterday, by the way. Patrick Kane hits 100 points, first time in in Blackhawks history since the 93-94 season when Jeremy Roenick did it. He had a four-point game. Artemi Panarin had a four-point game. And when the boys picked up the win, that was Joel Quenneville's 800th win. There's only two guys in NHL history that have at least 800 regular season wins. So great.
How about that? Yeah, all sorts of milestones. And then you have the linesman. And this is one of the great things of hockey. There's no better moment in hockey than at the end of the cup when you see the handshake line. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You don't see it in any other sport. Boston gets tattooed yesterday. They almost come back. They don't. It's almost like a double punch in the gut. They get down 6-0. They lose 6-4. The last thing they want to do is hang around on the ice. They leave the ice, and a bunch of guys realize, hold on a second. We need to honor this linesman who's retiring. And they came. A bunch of the guys, almost the entire team, came back on the ice. So salute to the Bruins and the Hawks.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? That's a great point, too. That's respect for the game, regardless of the final score, regardless of the circumstances. I think the Bruins get it, and I'm glad to see that. I was happy to see them all come over and shake Andy McKelman's hand. Andy, by the way, for those that don't know, he linesed his 1,500th and final game. There have been a couple of officials in the NHL that are retiring. Brad Lazarowicz is out along with Andy, and then there's a couple of others. But, to see that moment, that's really a rare moment in hockey, and so I hope some of the fans took that in, because you're not going to see that except for maybe once every couple of years, maybe even once every 5 to 10 years. I went to Andy's bash afterwards, and we had a great time down at the Palace Grill, George Lamparis's place on Madison. We had a great time. The place was packed, and it was just wall-to-wall Hawks fans and hockey people, and I'm telling you, it was the capper to a great day.
Wasn't it nice to see Jonathan Toews and Zdeněk Chara out there to present him with the jerseys before the game, and then like 3 minutes in there, they're both in the box.
They want to kill each other.
Right.
I found that to be kind of a poignant moment, too. I'm thinking, and Troy even said, he says, you may not want to go too much further with this engagement with Chara, because you may want to pick a different guy to joust with the sticks. But I think what Jonathan Toews was doing, and I like what he was doing. I mean, not only is he trying to set the example and lead the way for his team, but he was trying to get Chara off his game.
Yep.
And if you'll take a long look at that situation, Jonathan Toews, he's off the ice. The Blackhawks need him for sure. But Toews knew that the Bruins couldn't be without Chara. And so when Toews and Chara went to the penalty box, a different defenseman, Joe Morrow, I think is who it was, ended up playing in Chara's place, taking up those minutes. Well, that's where Patrick Kane stole the puck at the Blackhawks blue line and went in for that breakaway goal. That was a huge momentum turner for the Blackhawks. So a little clever ploy on the part of the captain.
Yeah, let's not lose sight of the fact that when you poke the bear, Zdeněk Chara, he's like a tree that can punch you. It's like you go and push a tree and it'll hit you. So there's nobody tougher than Toews, too. Look, it feels good. Keep that throat ready, buddy, because I got a feeling we're going to be hearing you right into June.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do my part, and I hope the listeners can put up with a raspy voice, because that may happen a time or two, but I'm going to do everything I can to protect it, and I'm really looking forward to the end of this.
You're the best. There's nobody close. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
John Weideman, your Chicago Blackhawks, heard here on Blackhawks Radio. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.